I still got this hula hoop in the lost and found. And here's an airplane.
I'll take the airplane.
Well, it's an earring, so it's probably fit. Probably fits you good.
I'm in the book of Exodus tonight.
Remember,
chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Started a series this last year, and it was entitled, or I named the series, The University of Adversity. The University of Adversity. And you find in the Old Testament that God, when He delivered His people from Egypt, He begins to take them through places like a detour. I hate detours.
Yeah.
Hate them. Trying to get somewhere, last thing I want to see is detour.
Yeah, right.
But I'd probably get there a little safer if I took that detour. But I don't like them. I don't get on my phone and find the places in Houston that say detour and decide that's how I go. And then He would take them to places of distress, places of disturbance, sometimes darkness, sometimes destruction, disappointment, you know, adversity. And I don't know how you are, but I don't know. When I went to go to college, I did not look through the syllabus, if that's what you call those things, and look for a class. Oh, look, here's a class on adversity. I think I'll sign up for that one. But that's why the Lord has to take us and put us in that university, because we are not going to pick that one ourselves.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
And you find the counterpart in the New Testament. Jesus takes His disciples through adversity. I still try to work out, and I live out in around Bend, Oregon, and there's a lot of pro athletes out there in Bend, Oregon, and there's an app called Strava. And it's kind of a social media app that these athletes are on there, and you post your runs, your swims, your bikes, whatever you do. And I would follow, there's a local triathlete, pro triathlete there that I've competed against a few times. And one day I just decided to look at his post, and here's what his post was. He was going to take a bike ride, and he said 104 degrees, 6,000 feet of climbing, a 25-mile headwind, and then he said, ... perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but when I want to go on a bike ride, I don't want it to be 106 degrees.
Sure.
Right. I don't want a 25-mile headwind.
Right.
And I sure don't want to climb 6,000 feet. But that's why he's a pro on race day, and I'm just an average. See, God don't want us to be average.
Right.
So He'll take you and He'll take me into this university.
Yep.
And He will try to do something in our lives that we're not going to do ourselves. We're just not going to do it.
That's true.
And I want to look at one of those places here tonight in Exodus chapter 14. And look at this with me. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 8 here. Exodus 14, verse number 8. You know the story. They've been come out of Egypt. Pharaoh's coming after them. And here they are in verse number 8. It says, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were what? And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. I want to talk a little bit about the discipline tonight of distress. The discipline of distress. I don't enjoy the different types of adversities that God brings into our life, and I don't even like a lot of them. You know, they come even unannounced. God doesn't send me a text and tell me this is what's coming. But we'll find ourselves sometimes in these places, and we're wondering what in the world's going on. You know, I was reading in Psalms 66, 5 through 6, and it says this: come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. And here's what it says: there did we rejoice in Him. This was the psalmist's invitation to God's people to join in and wonder and worship and look at the miracle of the Red Sea crossing. When the people of God were in a place of distress, then God proceeded miraculously and mercifully to deliver them from the hand of their enemy. And I say tonight, let's take the psalmist up on this invitation and look at this little historical account and see how in the world they could write, "There did we rejoice in Him."
Yep.
Now let's start looking tonight, number one, just 3 points tonight. Let's look at the divine arrangement in Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 2. The divine arrangement. I don't care what you believe tonight theologically, if you lean towards Calvinism or you lean the other way, I really don't care about all that tonight, but I do know this tonight: God will arrange some divine arrangements in your life. Maybe if you don't even want them, He's going to do it. Now, it's your choice how you're going to handle it, but He'll put them on your schedule. Now, regardless of, again, what you believe, I look at this divine arrangement tonight. It shouldn't shock any of us that God does this. The teacher always picks the place and time of the test, just like in our text. And God rarely discloses the divine lesson that's coming up next in our lives. But God does reveal at the right time exactly what is needed for faith to act upon, thus proving His faithfulness. Now, I want you to notice a few things that's instructive to me in this divine arrangement. God does guide in our life, thank God, and He does guide. If you want the guidance of God, God guides.
Amen.
If you want to listen, God will tell you. The Spirit still speaks.
Amen.
We're not in some different dispensation where the Spirit can't still say, "Amen, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work."
Right.
We're supposed to still have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church.
Amen.
And God does guide, and we find here, even back in the Old Testament, I mean, God gave them the exact site of their encampment. Look at chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, and it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea." So God picks this encampment, and Israel obediently journeys to this new location that He picks. And we know from this account that where they found themselves was in the mouth of a large gorge type area, shut in on all sides by the mountains and the sea. And we see this. And in other words, listen to me tonight. Following God's distinct divine directions, they found themselves so encircled that from a natural standpoint, the only way out was to go back the way they'd come. And that's what we usually try to do.
Yeah.
But God is going to quickly shut that gate and make sure there's no way to go back. So because you're reading verse 3, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in." And God says at the beginning of verse 4, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them." Now, I want to say this real quick. You say, "Well, look there, God hardened Pharaoh's heart." Not until Pharaoh hardened his own heart about 7 times.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hey, sir.
And if you harden your heart six, seven, eight times before the miracles of God, then God will probably just say, you know, looks like this is what he wants, so I'm just going to give it to him. And he'll just harden your heart. So he hardens his heart and Pharaoh comes after him. You know, we know the story here. And we know that Pharaoh's intent for God's people was destruction. So here is the divine lesson plan arranged by God for his people. And it's distress with a capital D. That's what it is. And this Red Sea is fixing to be a big visual aid for his people. Now we learned that here, if you want to be guided by God, you have the promise of God's guidance. But if you're in distress tonight, the present pressure that may be in your life does not negate that divine promise. And in fact, I would say tonight, even if you are in a place of distress tonight, sometimes we get in those places and we feel the pressure. And it may even prove tonight that you're in the right place when everything's telling you you're not in the right place. Paul said that there was an open door and there was many adversaries. So another thought here is this, that this divine, if the last lesson, there's the divine discipline of detour. And Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led them about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. So I find also a thought here that God adapted their guidance according to their immaturity or timidity at that time. And he'll do the same thing with us. So we can be assured tonight as God's people, if we pass through distress, it may seem like too much. It may seem like you can't handle it, but it's designed by God to be adapted to your present spiritual experience. In other words, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of able escape that you may be able to bear it. We often hear people say, you know, God will never give you more than you can handle. But I have not found that to be true. God has always given me more than I can handle. I don't know anything else that he does. But there are things he can handle. And that's the point. It's the design, no doubt, to make you and I more dependent on God more than ever when we get in these places of distress. Now, once the children of Israel were encamped by the sea, we read in verse 10, and Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now, I think it would be safe to say tonight that the reaction of God's people to this divine arrangement wasn't right. That's fair, isn't it? Which is probably why he arranged it. I don't find out stuff about you when I get in distress. I find out stuff about me. And here's what I find out. I ain't really got it together like I thought I did. I usually freak out. Amen. I know you don't. But I do. I mean, I just get in there and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to tell you what I say. But you got to admit, they're fixing to find out what's in their heart with a little pressure. They're going to find out. And God, help us not to flinch or fear or freak out when he intensifies the severity of his discipline, which he's going to do. You know, I was reading in Psalms 107, verse 7, and it says of this story, of this distressful place that he put him in, this bothers me. And he led him forth by the right way. It don't seem right to us. Isn't there an easier way? No. This is the right way. This is the right way. So I say that I see here this divine arrangement. Now I want to real quickly go to the second point. Not only do I see a divine arrangement, but I also see a divine announcement. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15, we have this. But before we look at this divine announcement by God, can I say that we first have an announcement from Moses, the man of God, in verse 13. Now look at this with me. And Moses says unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Now I would say tonight, thank God for Moses' confidence in God at this point. His response, you would have to admit, is a little bit more encouraging than the people's. But I can tell by what I'm reading here that there's something wanting in Moses' words. That even though Moses said something that the independent Baptist would stand up and say, "Amen, Moses," God wasn't that impressed with it. Because the divine announcement in verse 15, here's what God says in verse 15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they what?" Look at those two little words right there. Go forward. I get the feeling that this is somewhat of a rebuke in God's response to Moses. Do you see that? Moses says in the midst of this divine arrangement, "All right, everybody, just calm down. Amen, I'm the spiritual leader here. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And God says, "No, don't stand still. I don't see anywhere in there where I told you to stand still." Can you see that? By the way, Moses, the only way you're going to see anything, he says, stand still and what? Look at it. What's he say? Stand still and see, right? And God's thinking here, man, no. The only way you're going to see something, Moses, is to go forward. In other words, the only way you're going to believe is to see. You're going to have to believe to see. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the salvation of the Lord in the land of living. Jesus said unto Martha and Mary, "Said I not unto thee that thou wouldest see the glory? If thou wouldst believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God." I'm talking about the divine announcement. This is what God had to say about the whole thing. Now, I don't know. I don't know how you look at this. I get from God's response in the first part of verse 15 that Moses must have been praying to God about the people's reaction or about what to do. Now, I don't know, but that's why else did God say to Moses, "Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me?" You see how he just comes in and says that? And it's almost as if God says to Moses, "Moses, why are we praying right now? Now, I believe prayer is a good thing. I mean, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." But maybe this is where Philippians or Ecclesiastes 3 slips in. Everything, there is a season and time for every purpose under heaven. Any time to pray. Now, follow me here. Have you ever really thought about the scene before us in the Scripture? I was thinking about this the other day. We all know from the last chapter in Exodus 13:21, I won't go back there, but the Lord went before them in by day in a what? Pillar of cloud. And He went by night in this pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Have you ever thought about where that pillar was right now? I mean, at the moment of the divine announcement to go forward. Now, we read a little farther down in our text. Look at verse number 19, and it says this. "And the angel of the Lord God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar and the cloud went from before their face and did what?" But where was it when God said, "Go forward"? Wasn't it before them? Was it not even, if they're standing on the seashore and Pharaoh's got them shut in behind that they can't go back, it had to be over the water. I don't know where else it could have been. Amen. And here's the people shut in by the seashore and the pillars over the Red Sea. And then after the divine announcement to go forward, it removes and goes behind them to protect them from Pharaoh's army. Right? Am I getting that right? So in my mind, this sheds some light on the point in time of God's divine announcement. There comes a time in the Christian's life. I know this thing's not by works. I get all that. But there comes a time when progress in the life of faith depends entirely upon a human response to a divine revelation. Let me just say this with that. I got a principle out of Hebrews. I mean, faith is, right? It's not going to be. It is. It is. Right? Substance thing, hopefully, everything not seen. So you have a definition of a faith. But in the rest of the chapter, what we find is a description of faith, an illustration of faith. We're talking about today, Brother Caleb. And God will come along and He says to Moses, now listen, here's what faith is. Faith, in my mind, is a human response to a divine revelation. And the divine revelation always comes first. Noah, build an ark. There's the divine revelation. And Noah built an ark by faith, right? Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. Abraham, here comes the divine revelation. Abraham, I want you to go out. Okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? I just want you to go out. And the human response was, he went out. And it's always that way. I don't know about you, but the night I got saved, God said, here's the divine revelation. You need to get saved. And by faith, I responded to that divine revelation and came forward and got saved.
Amen.
That is the Christian life in a nutshell. Amen. You wait for the Spirit of God to speak through you through the Scriptures. Brethren, I love the Bible. I love the King James Bible. But I don't know what the Bible would be without the Spirit of God.
You're right.
Dead letter.
Right.
Holy men of God spake as they were moved by
Holy Ghost.
And the Spirit of God will take the Scriptures and say something to you. And here's where it lands in your lap. Will you humanly respond to that divine revelation? And when you do, He'll give you another revelation. And He wants you to respond. And that is the life of faith. That is how I've been got from being saved to where I am right now. Wasn't through Bible college. Not coming down on that. But I didn't learn that in Bible college. God taught me that.
Amen.
And and Brother Calvin touched on this when he preached. That is the life of the Christian right there.
Yes.
And a lot of people just, they don't respond. You know, I used to like to shoot a lot, you know, and I got some guns and I started loading my own bullets because every gun likes to eat a certain amount of grains and a certain, grains of bullet. And then not only that, but your grains of powder. And if you'll mess with that thing long enough, if you load three of them up at this and then increase the powder and load three up and maybe change the bullet up and keep all those notes and you'll shoot. You'll find, amen, that there's a point there where your group goes from this to this to this. And all of a sudden it just goes to this. And if you keep going, it'll spread out again. Some guns have two places. Well, where there's a place where they like to eat. And I like to do that, brethren. And I like to load those bullets, amen. But it does me no good to put them in that gun and look through that scope at that bullet, at that target, and sit there and think about the shooting and think about the wind and think about everything, amen, but never pull the trigger. And some people for years have known what God wants them to do, and they're thinking, I've been aiming to do this, and I've been aiming to do this, and I'm aiming to do that. You need to quit aiming and pull the trigger. You need to go forward with what the Spirit of God has revealed to you. Well, it don't make any sense. You think this made any sense?
No.
Go through the water? Uh-huh. Amen. And I don't care. I mean, I love Moses, but however spiritual stand still and see may sound in a time of distress, this was not spiritual at the time. Amen. It's just, are you with me? And when we face something like this, we can panic like the people did, blame the man of God, even blame God for himself for not knowing what's going on, start telling him, amen, it'd be better for us, Lord, if we do this, God forbid. Or we could be like Moses and we can seek God's direction, God's counsel on the matter, even though guidance has already been given. It's already been given. They were following this leading all the way to this point without praying. So all of a sudden now, why do we got to stop? And I understand it's because the way that God is leading seems impossible. Brother and sisters, what do you expect with God? It's never going to seem possible. Right. If it does, it may not be from Him.
Right.
Because He'll just take us to places like this. And I mean, we do all the time. This must not be God's will.
Right.
And that's why you stay average.
That's right.
Go forward.
Right.
I mean, you may be a missionary facing some foreign field and you have no idea how you're going to learn that language and do the things that you need to do over there because you know your shortcomings, you know who you are. Amen. And the devil will be right there to tell you those things. He'll lie to you with the truth all day long, you loser. That's what you are. But he'll tell you that's what you are and you'll believe him. But that don't matter. What God needs is for somebody to go forward. You may be facing some distress in your life or something God's placed before you and you're thinking, I don't know how I can get from here to there. Well, you don't need to, brother. You don't need to, sister. You just need to go forward if He's revealed to you by the Spirit of God what you're supposed to do. I know it seems impossible. That's why He puts you there, because if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Why did you ever think faith and reason were going to run together, brother? Why? Where did you ever get that in your mind? Faith and reason don't run together, and God will pencil in a divine arrangement, a crossroad in your life, a crisis in your life where you're going to have to choose logic or the Lord. Which one are you going to choose? Now, I really believe in my mind, this is a picture of Galatians 3.23. I learned this from Brother Brownie Rogers. Galatians 3.23 talks about being shut up to faith. You ever read that over there? What is Paul talking about? Something like this. Where you have, I really have no other choice.
Right?
But faith. In other words, responding, humanly responding to that heavenly revelation. Now, I believe the heavenly revelation always comes first. You wait for God to speak, and then you respond. But they're shut up to faith right now. Like Jacob was at the river Jabbok. You'll get to these times in your life, and I'm just trying to tell you, listen, I mean, we think we understand. We think we can study the Bible and understand things. We think we can go to school and understand things. And brethren, I think we can. But here's what Hebrews 11:3 says. Through faith, we understand. It's not through education we understand. It's not through enlightenment that we're going to understand. You're not going to understand until you move by faith. Until you pull the trigger and go forward.
Amen.
God wanted them to go forward in spite of their fears. And I understand we get fearful in this thing. You know, I think about when Brother Leroy was talking about that storm up there. You know, he comes to his men. Here's the counterpart of New Testament. They're sleeping in the back of the boat. Those men had come up on that sea all their life. And Jesus lets the storm come up. And he's sleeping in the back of the boat. And must have been a big one. I was looking up some of those words in that story. And one of those words of the waves or something, it means seismos, like a seismograph, like the thing they measure the earthquakes with. That's pretty big. And then boys went back and woke him up and they said, Master, carest not that we perish? Well, of course he cares. And you remember what his response was? Why are you so fearful, O ye of little
faith?
Because he knows that fear will drive faith out of your heart.
Thank you.
Or faith will drive fear out of your heart. Your choice. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. It's fear is a spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I'm not talking about the fear of the Lord, but you understand what I'm talking about. Phobia, it's a spirit, brother. And it causes you to quit having faith in God. Go forward.
Man.
Well, you know, I mean, some of you young men in here, man, I remember this. You know, sitting there, God's calling you to preach, and you can't see how, if you surrender, how you're going to get from there to there. Who cares? Go forward.
Amen.
Quit trying to reason it all out with logic and follow the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know. I don't know nothing else to do. I've been doing that since I got saved. Go forward.
Amen.
Hey, listen, you're not responsible for dividing the Red Sea.
No.
Right?
You're not responsible, amen, to get all those things done. You're not responsible to defeat the enemy. That's God's part.
Thank you.
He just wants you to go forward.
Amen.
There's a divine arrangement. There's a divine announcement. And then lastly, very clear here, but there's a divine accomplishment. And we find here a principle in the Word of God that when God's people obey the divine announcements by faith, they experience divine accomplishments. And this is no doubt what God wanted His people then and now to learn from this whole discipline of distress by putting them in this. We're in a tight spot. You ever see that movie? We're in a tight spot, man. We're in a tight spot. Brother Calvin, it seems like I'm always in a tight spot. Dapper Dan. Three things real quick. The divine accomplishment. First, you see the division of the Red Sea. It's obvious to us, but we find in verse 21 through 22, look at this with me real quick. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. How about the distressing, impossible things that you're facing today? I mean, it's the same God that parted the Red Sea on behalf of His people. That's who we're dealing with. He divinely accomplished this, what was needed in their life. All He wants somebody to do is trust Him. All He wants somebody to do is obey Him. All He wants is somebody to just go forward with what you say. Well, preacher, how do you know for sure? You want to get into that stupid game in your mind? Help yourself. That is a trap. That is a trap. I learned this from Pastor Farley years ago. I said, how do you follow the Spirit of God? And he said, well, Brother Brownie taught me that when you feel like the Spirit of God. Now, I know most Christianity is against this, and I'm sorry if you don't like it, but I'm preaching. And he said, when the Spirit of God says something to you through the Scriptures or through a saint, maybe through a song, and you feel like He's speaking to you, by faith, you do what He says. And you'll either fall on your face and make a mess. And I thought, that's encouraging. Or you'll get it right. He said, but either way, you're going to know. And you'll learn. Now, I didn't hear Him right that time. But then the next time you do it and you get it right, you're like, I heard Him right that time. And this is... You have to learn the communion of the Holy Ghost. Or you'll be average the rest of your Christian life. And you have to take a shot at some things once in a while.
Yes, sir. Right.
You gotta pull the trigger and try. Well, I might mess up in front of everybody and fall on my face, and then what? We might find out you're a ding dong? We already know that. I don't know I am, I know you are. Amen. Am I making any sense? And you do that long enough and you begin to realize when He's speaking to you and when He ain't. What He's saying to you, what He's not.
Right.
And you can be led by the Spirit of God. Now, if you want to be an average Christian the rest of your life and just be saved, If you just want to have, as Brother Leroy said this morning to me, if you just want to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're good enough with being sealed to the day of redemption. I get in a lot of trouble from this, from Baptists, and I don't know why. Most of them are King James Bible, even Baptists. I believe the book. You don't believe this? But if you want to just be saved and sealed by the Spirit of God and you think that's all there is to it, you're out of your ever-living mind and you will be average.
You're right.
If you just want to be born again and be a child of God, but if you ever want to become a full-grown son of God,
yes,
as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Yes.
And you're going to have to learn how to start listening to the Spirit of God when He speaks to you through the Scripture.
Hey.
And responding to what He says.
Right.
Go forward. I don't see a way. You don't need to see a way. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And if you'll follow Him, somehow you end up where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you want some divine accomplishments in your life? Well, He said, go forward. I don't know how we're going to do this. But I believe we'll just start in. And they walk on dry ground.
Right.
And we're still talking about it today.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
We see the division of the Red Sea. Listen, the victory. Victory is the way of faith. The second thing I see is this. I see a divine accomplishment. I see the division of the Red Sea, but I see the destruction of the Egyptians. Look at verse 23 through 28. I'm almost done. Look at verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel. We're getting out of here. No, you're not. You're too far in now, sucker. And you know the story. The destruction of the Egyptians. Now listen, somebody get this tonight, please. This is an important truth in my mind to understand. When you walk by faith, when you humanly respond to God's divine revelations, the enemy cannot follow you. Because the faith that delivers you destroys them.
Well, that's good.
You understand that? You know how I got, I don't know, somebody that's smart of me can figure this out. You know, our main battles are the world, the flesh, the devil. And I don't know if they go in that order, but I'll tell you what, I stand here today. The first thing I had, maybe it's because I got saved late and I was so far in that world, brother. Amen. I could identify with your testimony. Maybe that was why I had to fight that. But I'll tell you, the first thing that God gave me the victory over was the world. And you know how He did it? By talking, doing what I'm talking about. Just by walking by faith, doing what He told me to do. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our weird. The destruction of the Egyptians. And if you won't go forward in times of distress, you will remain in the presence of your enemies. One of the divine accomplishments in our life is the overcoming of the world. And the Spirit of God will lead you right out of that thing if you'll let Him. And then I'll say this. Another divine accomplishment is this. Finally, we see the deliverance of Israel. Look at verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel, now I like this. Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Now here's what I really like. Look at verse 31. Now read it. Look. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did. I don't know about you, but I want to see the great work of God.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
And then you get in chapter 15 and they sang. They're rejoicing. Through this, brothers, I don't like adversity. I don't like being in a tight spot like this. But had they never been put in this spot, they never would have seen the great works of God. Never would have seen it. And it taught them to believe in the Lord. to trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. I can't go through there. I can't make it. Quit it. Shut up. Tell yourself to shut up.
Amen.
Shut up.
Yes.
Amen. You don't understand.
Yes.
Right. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths.
Yes.
And then as the psalmist said, there we did rejoice. Chapter 15. I won't go into that because we're out of time, but I'm just telling you tonight, I don't like distress. But there's no doubt from the Word of God that it accomplishes divine things in our life. The discipline of distress moved God's children in the direction He wanted them to go, in a direction they thought was impossible, so He could accomplish something in their life that they never imagined. So I place before you tonight these fruitful 9 words. Speak unto the children that they go forward.
Amen.
I'll tell you what the good thing for us in 2021.
Yeah.
Go forward.
Yes.
Yes.
Just go forward.
Yeah. Amen.
And I believe that probably people in here tonight, the Spirit of God has probably spoke to you this week. You may know already in your life what God wants. The Spirit has revealed something to you. Quit aiming. Pull the trigger. Take a shot at something.
Yes.
Shoot a bow at a venture.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's faith. Father, pray you bless the words tonight. Lord, I pray for somebody here that knows, maybe somebody, they know what your will is, but they're scared tonight. They're so afraid.